You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network. I'm Phyllis Smith. So are you feeling like you're spinning your wheels, working your butt off, and getting nowhere? Well, one of your problems could be that you need visibility. So today's guest is an expert at that, and especially in today's world where everything is online. That's really her area of expertise. So her name is Kathleen Gage, but the other part of this is that she's got a really juicy transformation story about her own life that she's going to share as well. So Kathleen, welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network.
Phyllis, it is great to be here. Great to be here.
Well, you do have quite a story. So right now you're living this most wonderful life. You live in this beautiful area in Oregon. You've got a menagerie of animals. You're healthy. You've run a marathon. You've got pride in your work. You're married to a wonderful woman. So my question to you is, though, this has not always been that way. So give us a little clue into your very interesting life and the transformation that's taken place for you.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because when you say my very interesting life, sometimes I forget about the journey that I've taken, and I just take for granted that this is the way it always has been. And in reality, it hasn't been this way. You're right. I live a really, really nice life today. Have some acreage in Oregon. We do have our animals, and love my business, and I love the clients I work with. But at one point in my life, primarily in my late teens and early 20s, I started getting involved with a group of people that basically took me down a very dark path, and got involved in drugs and alcohol, and I ended up on the streets, yada, yada, yada. You know, I'm not the only one who's been through this, but again, sometimes I forget where I ended up, and what I realized was it was through the choices that I made that I ended up in a dark place, and it's through the choices I make on a daily basis that I live the life I live. It's really quite simple. And yet not always easy. I think the distinction is there's a difference between simple and easy. And I've been sober for 34 years now. I really have to give credit to that for the life I live today, and to not forget where I was at one point in my life.
Would you consider that time in your life the greatest challenge you've ever been through? Or has there been others? I mean, having been on the streets and drugs and alcohol, that's tough. So was that the most difficult thing you had to overcome?
No. Actually, you know, at the time it seemed like it. And yet as my life really started turning around, the most challenging time I went through is the loss of both my parents. My dad passed in 2009. My mom passed in 2011. They had been married nearly 61 years. And to lose a parent and be there to watch them go through their demise and really be committed to just doing everything possible to make their last days as really as pleasurable as possible and as loving as possible. I was my mom's caretaker for a couple of years. During that time, I wasn't exercising. I was eating very unhealthy. I gained a lot of weight. I was about 50 pounds heavier than I am now. And I didn't, at that time, it wasn't an easy time. And yet I knew that that time would pass and I didn't want to have any regrets. So I would say really the most difficult thing that I've been through in my life is losing my parents.
So that's a profound loss that you're experiencing. So one was overcoming the choices and the habits that you had chosen over time. And the other one was overcoming a profound loss. Is there sort of one secret or one thing that you can say that helps us get through these kinds of dark challenges and difficult times in our lives?
That is such a great question, Phyllis. And yes, I believe for me, what I've learned in life is to realize that this too shall pass. Whatever it is we're going through is going to pass, the good times and the bad times. I think a lot of times people, they think when they're on the upswing and everything's going great, it's going to last. Well, it's going to pass and there's going to be other challenges in life. So for me, it's realizing that this too shall pass. Today is the only day that we have. Live fully. Live as if today is the only day, but with the thought in mind that we will be here tomorrow, so that you have accountability in the behaviors and the actions that you take.
You know, you speak like a woman who just knows her stuff. You know, I would have said something else, but you do. Like, you just got it together. But I want to just go back a moment from the time that you were on the streets and living a far different life. Was there a turning point? Was there sort of one thing that took you from that survival state to one of success?
Well, one is to really look at my definition of success, because at one point in my life, success was all about the material things. And I have to say, I live a very comfortable life today. And so there is an element of the material that defines my success. But really, it was realizing that I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was sick and tired of living the life I was living. And fortunately, I hooked up with some people that guided me to a better place. And I remember early on when I made the decision to let go of drinking, and it wasn't an easy decision. I mean, it was like I was so used to that. And I had a mentor, if you will, who said, you're the reason that your life is where it's at. And I said, you don't understand. It had to do with this and it had to do with that. And it had to do with this. And she goes, no, you don't understand. Your attitude sucks and you need to change the way you look at life. And so that really was a turning point for me, when somebody was willing to call me on my stuff.
Do you find that, at one point, so would you have considered yourself an alcoholic? And I'll tell you why. Yes. I'm asking you that question. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So
yeah, no,
once,
you know, there's no doubt about that, because if I ever forget that, then it would be that much easier for me to say, oh, one drink wouldn't hurt. But for me, and I'm not saying this is for anybody else, it's just for me, I know that one drink would hurt.
So when you lost both your parents, very close to each other, is that feeling always there, that kind of addiction feeling, that alcohol, that feeling of just wanting to just stuff it down with something so that you don't have to feel?
Yes, yes. And in knowing that, then I can make different choices, because alcohol is not an option for me. Drugs are not an option for me. Food is an option. I'm not so much a shopaholic. I would say that food really is the one thing that I can turn to, and it's more sociably acceptable than a lot of things. And so in knowing that, I can make different choices, and I can say, just for today, I'm going to behave in this way rather than that way.
Well, I've always said, I think it's kind of addiction is addiction is addiction. So if it's not one, you know, choose your poison. The hardest thing with food, and I know we might be going off on a tangent a little bit here, but I think so many others feel this way, is that food, you need it to survive. So you can't get away from it. You can't just not go to a bar or, you know, turn down a drink or not have it at home. You have to have it at home. And it's the choices that you make in the kind of food you're going to have home. And the truth is, I'm a certified health coach. So really it's 80% to 20. So, you know, what you do 80% of the time is what counts. So like you say, you know, you need a moment. It's okay. You just got to kind of just stay with it, and it's not the end of the world. You know, one step forward, two step back, two steps forward, one step back. So
right,
moving
right
on from that. So you're just, you know, here you are, this confident, strong, magnificent lady. You've written two books, or did you write more than one book? I know.
I have.
Here's
I've
one.
Written, actually, yeah, I've written four books. I've co-authored probably a dozen books. I've written hundreds of articles. So writing is one of my sweet spot wheelhouse.
So you wrote here you are. This is one of your books, but you've also just written a memoir.
Well, I'm in the middle of the memoir. It's at the editor's office right now. And I have to tell you, that's a whole different process than writing a business book or a spiritual book. A memoir, especially if you're going into a very dark place of a story you're sharing. And mine happens to be about the drug and alcohol abuse and where it ended me up and then the people that I hooked up with and then where the turning point was. So for me, it made me feel very vulnerable, brought up a lot of emotions. It made me realize how far I've come in life. And there was a part of me that thought, why am I even doing this? Why would I want to share that part of my life? And yet, with the people that I've shared it with, my colleagues, my friends, who they know my full story, they're saying, you have to tell your story, because what that will do is it will show people, no matter where you ended up, you don't have to stay there.
Easier said than done, right? But
absolutely.
Yeah, it's that, it's really giving. When you write a memoir and you go deep, you dive deep into your past and you remind yourself of things you wish you didn't have to remember, you are in a place of giving. And that is, it's almost a sacrifice. So thank you for that. And I look forward to reading it. You write many blogs too. You're a great writer. You wrote a blog for us, actually, for eWomen Network, How I Turned My Big, Hairy, Audacious Goal into a Reality. And one of the things writing your memoir. And you said to your secret to achieving your goals is to see ourselves in possession of something long before we actually possess the thing. So
yes.
How does that work? Explain that.
Did I say that? That's pretty profound.
You did. No. Isn't it brilliant?
Well, you know, and it's so interesting because I enjoy the teachings of Abraham, Law of Attraction. And there's one teaching about getting a big box and putting in the box clippings and pictures of things that you want. And really what that is it works in the subconscious level, where basically you're affirming the life that you want to live. And a great example is the place that Karen and I have now. We used to live in Utah, and we've been together 28 years and lived in Utah for 15 years. And we knew that eventually we were going to move to an area where we could buy some land and it didn't snow as much. So we had a real clear vision of where we wanted to go. But what we did is we actually got magazines and we clipped out pictures of a farmhouse, pictures of horses, pictures of the kind of clothes we wanted to wear. And we basically just created this, if you will, a vision board of what we wanted. And we would look at that every day and affirm that that's the life we were moving towards. And it manifested. And yet it's not just thinking about what you want. You have to take the action. You have to do the footwork. But you really do have to see yourself in possession. It's like when I did my first marathon. I've actually done two full marathons. I've done several halves. I do a lot of 5Ks and 10Ks. And I started at the age of 61. That's the thing that I it's kind of like, well, you know, what can I do today? Oh, sign up for a marathon. But when I trained for my first one, I had to really see myself crossing the finish line, because when I did the first marathon, mile 16 was tough. Mile 19 was grueling. Mile 22 was awful. And I just had to hold on to the vision of crossing the finish line. Now, I hold the distinction of being the very last person in for the 2015 Eugene Marathon. I mean, I definitely was the last person in, but I crossed the finish line. And had I not held on to that vision, I would have given up.
Wow. I love that. The very last person, but you made it.
I did.
Jeez. And that feeling, that accomplishment, can you put into words what that feels like?
Well, it is a personal accomplishment, and it's a sense of fulfillment. And when I was out running and gunning in my earlier days, I never followed through on the things I said I was going to do. I was always talking about what I was going to do, but I never accomplished it. Today, my word is the most important thing that I have. It's all about integrity. And I actually made a public announcement, and I was using the marathon as a way to raise funds for rescue animals. And so I had put it out to my community that I was going to be finishing this marathon, and that stayed with me. It was like, you told people you were going to do this. You can't let them down. You've got to keep going. And it was also on Mother's Day, and I was remembering my mother, and so it was a tribute to my mother too.
Well, you are you're a gem, and we have a lot more to cover here. But we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, you're going to share some advice on how to quit playing small. Cut it out, folks.
Okay. All
and
right.
Three ways that an expert can gain visibility. So stay tuned.
Calling all speakers. eWomen Network has speaking engagements all over North America that must be filled. Are you a gifted messenger, author, expert, or successful entrepreneur that can help women entrepreneurs grow their businesses? Our mission is to help 1 million fulfilled women each achieve $1 million in annual revenue. If you're a speaker that can help women prosper, go to eWomenNetwork.com and sign up as a pro member of our Speakers Network. That's eWomenNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen. Here's your host, Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back to Spotlight on eWomen Network. I'm Phyllis Smith. I'm speaking with Kathleen Gage, a woman who has gone from being an alcoholic, drugs, homeless, and now is achieved so much success. She's written 4 books. She's run 2 marathons. She's got a wonderful home, a wonderful wife. But it's not always easy, right? She's been through a lot, just as all of us at some point in our lives, we are going to face very difficult challenges, a profound loss of losing both of our parents within a few year, couple of years of each other. But her expertise is in online marketing. And today you cannot have a business without it. And so, but you need to know how to navigate it. So Kathleen, let's just go first with one of your areas of expertise besides online marketing is working with entrepreneurs who want to quit playing small. And why is this so important for you to be doing this? And why is it that entrepreneurs play small?
Well, one of the reasons it's so important for me to do this, Phyllis, is that I work with conscious entrepreneurs. I work with entrepreneurs who are wanting to make a difference in the lives of their clients, and they're wanting to make a difference in the world, however big their world is. And if you look at the situations that are going on day in and day out, there's so much tragedy in the world today that if you've got something that's going to help people, that's going to heal people, that's going to give them a better quality of life, that's going to make it possible for them to contribute to the well-being of their community, they owe it to themselves and to their market to get out there as much as possible and do as much as possible to make the changes they say they're here to make. I have one client, a gentleman who's 87 years old, and he actually holds the distinction of creating, if you remember the Chatty Cathy doll, he did the voice box for that. He was the inventor of that. He also worked on the first lunar landing, getting the astronauts on wherever they, moon, I guess. And
no slouch.
no slouch. And his whole deal today, he's 87 years old. His whole deal today is teaching people how to be happy. He's also a family therapist. I mean, the guy is phenomenal. He's brilliant beyond compare. And his whole deal right now is just teaching people simple tools to live a life of happiness. And I said, Dave, what drives you? And he said, what drives me is life is too short not to be happy. And so for him, he's doing whatever he can. He hired me to help him get visibility. And so we're getting radio interviews for him. We updated all his branding and really making it so he can get his message out in a big way, because there's no time to waste, especially at 87 years old. I mean, the guy probably will live past 100, but phenomenal, phenomenal man.
Amazing. And really, you said it's visibility. If you can't hide in the bushes. I mean, you got to get out there. And in this world of that everything is online, you have to stand out. And it's right. More than just standing out, right? Visibility is online, but as you just said, you're getting radio interviews. So it's really like a combination kind of public relations and speaking and all of those things, correct?
Absolutely. It's you have your core message of what you want to get out to market, but then it's like a wheel where you have a lot of spokes, where all those spokes lead to the core message. And it's through article marketing, it's through blogging, it's through interviews like this. You're giving me the opportunity to get my message out to a whole new market. When I hear of blog opportunities that fit within my wheelhouse, I immediately jump on it. I don't sit and think about it. It's like, okay, there's an opportunity. And it doesn't mean that I'll be accepted for the opportunity, but it means that at least I'm taking the action and doing the footwork. And this is what I teach my clients. When there's an opportunity, first of all, you have to be prepared for that opportunity, because luck has been described as opportunity and preparedness meeting. So if the opportunity presents itself, if you're not prepared, you're going to miss that opportunity. If you're prepared and you have a foundation, then you actually will probably have that opportunity.
So you say in your book, Power Up Profits, Power Up Profits, The Smart Woman's Guide to Online Marketing, that the more visibility you have, the more doors open up. So that sounds right. That sounds obvious. So, but there are three specific ways that you advise people on how yes. to, you know, how an expert can gain visibility. What are those three ways?
Yes. Well, one is, this is it's a big tip actually that can really get you some traction. On Twitter, find influencers that you want to follow, that you want to get attention from, and actually follow them, retweet their tweets, comment on their tweets. I'll tell you the people that I follow and that I retweet and I comment on. Cher. I commented on something Cher said recently, and I'll tell you what, there was a whole firestorm because I actually disagreed with something she said. And I love Cher. I've been a fan of hers for years, but she said something, and it had to do with all the sexual harassment going on these days. And she said something about, well, why don't we hear about women? Women don't do that, and blah, blah, blah. I said, oh yeah, women do. They're school teachers and on and on. So I had a different point of view. And you would have thought that, you know, it was the worst thing I could have done, but it created controversy, and controversy can be good. And then there were other things about Cher that I agreed with what she said. Bette Midler is another one that I follow. Cheryl Strayed is another one that I follow. Let's see, who else? There's just a number of them that I retweet their tweets and I comment on their tweets, and that will get you noticed by that person. That's one way that you can gain visibility. Another way to gain visibility is to do radio interviews. There's plenty of opportunity for radio interviews, but what you need is you need a speaker one sheet, you need an expert one sheet. They're one and the same, actually. You need to have a short introduction, and you need to have some questions that the person who's going to interview you might be able to use. So that's the preparedness part. And then looking for those opportunities. The way to find the opportunity is the people that have a similar market reach as you. Do a Google search on radio interviews that they've done, then contact the host of the show and say, hey, I noticed that you interviewed Cheryl Strayed. This is what I'm going to do with my memoir. Because my memoir is actually, if you want to know, it's a cross between Wild and 50 Shades of Grey. I'll leave it at that. And so anything that fits within that realm, I'm going to be looking for those opportunities, and I'm going to be proactive in contacting the show host. So that's another one. Another opportunity to gain visibility is your own blog, and make your blog post really content driven, and also looking for guest blogging opportunities. There's plenty of those out there. So when people say, oh, there's no opportunity, or I don't know what to do, I just gave you three very powerful strategies. And this is what my clients pay me a lot of money to tell them. I tell them over and over, okay, have you gone out and have you looked for those opportunities? And another thing you want to look at is, are you undercutting your prices? Are you working way too hard for way too little, where you could actually increase your fees in order to get a higher quality client and not have to work so hard, so that you could actually put time into those visibility opportunities?
That's all. So I'm just going to recap here. Twitter, follow people. By the way, I follow Cher and I follow Bette Midler. Also, you know who was another one to follow that I absolutely love, and he's hilarious, but he's also, I love his point of view, is Carl Reiner. I'm not kidding. He's in his 90s. He tweets every day.
Okay.
Yeah, he's brilliant. You also talked about get radio interviews, just like we've done here. And I have to say, whenever I've opened up, or we've opened up the opportunity for bloggers and for people to be interviewed on our podcast, on my podcast, you know, you jumped right in. But I also want to say, at the EWNpodcastnetwork.com, we have a whole mess of a whole bunch of other hosts. So go to that website, click on the shows, see if there's one that is in alignment with you, and then you can email them from their host page and ask them for an interview. Kathleen, you should do that too. So
I will do that. I'm making a mental note of it.
And, make a mental note.
Yeah,
yep.
Definitely.
EWNpodcastnetwork.com.
I'm writing and then, it down right now.
Good for you.
Okay.
And then look for opportunities, blog, content. And I want to say also about blogging. I love blogging, but it's really important that there is a strategy around blogging in that it's not just throwing up a bunch of text. I mean, I would advise people, either they can hire you or you can do some Google searches about, you know, best practices, because it's important you have, you know, certain headlines and you want to have pictures and you want it to be aesthetically pleasing as well. Those
Absolutely.
Are kinds of things, right? And then you link your picture, you get all, you know, you have to have, you know, names and alternate text for your pictures. So there is definitely a method to it, to get, you know, gain SEO, because otherwise you could be writing something and nobody's reading it. So let's face it, folks, you want visibility, you got to work for it. Am I right?
Absolutely. And one thing about when you blog, I have two blogs. I have themarketingmindset.com and I have Passion for Thriving. And the Marketing Mindset is focused pretty much on experts who write books who want to get visibility and they want to know how to market. And Passion for Thriving is really for older women, and by older, 50 plus, and that want to live a life with a lot of juice. And with every blog post that I do, I make sure it goes on Twitter. I make sure it goes in groups on Facebook that are specific to the blog post. I put it on LinkedIn if it's appropriate. I really give it the push to get some visibility. I send it out to my list. You know, so you can't just, like you said, it's not about being a stagnant post. It's about being very robust and being, what would be the word, where it takes on a life of its own. I can't think of the word, and words are my thing.
Viral, like make it, you know, so if you wanted
viral,
to go viral,
yeah,
maybe
that's
a term. But I think it's you can't be shy. I mean,
right.
Folks, don't be shy. I mean, do you want to you have this magnificent message, you want to change the world, or at least your community, or, you know, let's start with your blog. The point is that you've got to get the word out. So if you're in your house, you know, writing a blog, or you just want to, you know, again, start with your blog, you got to get outside the door to tell people that you're there, right? So
can I give another little tip of something I did recently?
Yes, go.
Okay. In my local community, I'm looking for opportunities to work with companies that are involved with health and fitness. And I go to two gyms. I go to a gym to do my regular workouts, and then I have a gym where I have a trainer who's a weightlifting trainer. And they had an annual party recently, and I went up to the owner and I said, you know, you need to do a media release about this because you could get some great coverage for your business. And he goes, oh, I just don't have time. I said, I'll tell you what, let me gift that to you. I will write a media release. I'll send it out to the media. And immediately I put the media release together, sent it to him, said, give me your thumbs up and I'll send it out to the local media. Now, this was just a few days ago, so we don't know what the result will be, but I made sure it went to the right editors for the local publications, the news channels, all of that. And what I'm hoping will happen is that he gets a story out of it, or at least a good mention out of it, and I can use that as the fuel to open up other opportunities. So sometimes you just have to get out there and take the action and then use that as a springboard to what comes next. Don't sit by and wait for opportunity to show up at your doorstep. Go out and create that opportunity. That's the bottom line.
It's also important, my background is in television, radio, news, and having been a reporter and a producer and an assignment editor and you name it, I did it in the specific, you know, more in the news business, is that I would have been the one that you'd be sending the press release to. So it's very important when you write a media release or someone writes it for you, you want a story. You don't want something, a story that's relevant. And so
right.
you don't want to write something that's going to be like, oh, I have this new business or I have a new book out and this is great. Well, how is that book relevant to something going on? in the world or in the community, wherever you're getting that out. So it's really important that you have a good hook, right? So otherwise, guess where that media release goes in the trash, or in these days, it's just a delete button. So it's real important.
There you go.
Yeah. One of the things, Kathleen, you also talk about is that, you know, you wrote, even in writing this book, it's, you know, the Smart Woman's Guide to Online Marketing. You know, you say that for women entrepreneurs, for some reason, they tend to hold themselves back. Why do you think they do that instead of playing full out?
Girls should be seen and not heard. That was something that a lot of us were taught in childhood, and we've carried that into adulthood. Fear of failure, fear of success, fear of judgment. And I will tell you, the bigger you get and the more visible, I should say, that you get, the more you're going to be judged. When I had an opposing point of view from Cher, I got to tell you, people attacked me. And then all of a sudden, I'm involved in these conversations that had nothing to do with my original comment. And I would write to people and say, what does that have to do with me? I didn't even form an opinion on that, you know? And so I had to be prepared for that kind of backlash. And so the thing that people have to realize is, if you believe in something enough, you're willing to get those broad shoulders to weather the storm, if you will, because you will get judged. And some people say, well, I don't want to be judged. No matter what you do, no matter what it is, you're going to be judged. So you may as well be judged for something you believe in.
I love it, Kathleen. We've actually run out of time. Can we just sum this up with, you know, one piece of advice people can do today to start gaining more visibility?
That's a great question. I would say the number one thing that people can do to get more visibility is make a commitment to it. When Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen had their first book published, what they did is they every day would submit requests for interviews to at least 5 shows. 5 a day. That was the minimum. And at the end of the year, that was over 1,500 requests. And it just started snowballing. So be willing to take the action, make the commitment. That would be my recommendation.
Beautiful. Kathleen Gage, thank you so much. If you want to reach out to Kathleen, powerupforprofits.com is her website. You can reach out to her there. Kathleen, thanks for sharing your time, your wisdom, and just for all the success that you've had and inspiring us as well to plow through, fight through, overcome the challenges. You'll get through to the other side. Feel like you're drowning in administrivia? Do you have a podcast you would like transcribed to repurpose as a blog or even a best-selling book? Rhonda's Virtual Office is the answer to the freedom you crave so you can get busy doing what you love. Let Rhonda's Virtual Office give you the relief you need. Visit rhondasvirtualoffice.com and get some peace of mind today. Rhonda's Virtual Office is the go-to transcription service for EWN Podcast Network.
You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.